And it's 33 minutes just after 11:30. Thank you very much for joining us. This is still the Morning Cruise on 89.5. Now, in studio, we are in the presence of Dr. Tariq El Awadi, who is revered for being a walking encyclopedia on ancient Egypt. He is a renowned Egyptologist, with fascinating stories to tell about discovering mummies and artifacts, as well as creating exquisite replicas and exhibition pieces. He is presently showcasing the Tutankhamun, his tomb and his treasure exhibition, which opened on the 2nd of June 2015 in Cape Town at the Grand West's new Sun Exhibit Center, and will run till the 12th of June. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you? Good morning, everyone. Okay. And with me in studio, I'm joined by AllAfrica.com's managing editor, Juanita Williams, who have we have partnered up to talk to Dr. Awadi.
Good morning. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
So, for our listeners who are not well informed, who is King Tutankhamun, would you say?
Well, Tutankhamun is the youngest African king who ruled Egypt during the 18th dynasty. We call this period the Golden Age of the Pharaohs. Egypt was controlling the whole ancient world. So Tutankhamun came to the throne of Egypt at age 9 years old, and he died very young, maximum at age 19 years old. But he made difference in history because his tomb and his treasure were the only tomb and treasure to be found completely intact. And he gave us a window. Through it, we look at the magical world of the pharaohs. His father was Akhenaton. His father came with a revolution in religion. He changed the old tradition, the thousands of years tradition, worshipping so many gods. And he called for one God. And it was the time when Egypt was facing this problem, how they stop the old managed traditions and call only for one God. It was the duty of Tutankhamun to bring back the old tradition to the country, to bring back stability, and I think he succeeded doing this.
Was it normal for the king to be so young?
No, the king came to the throne after the death of his father. And it happened that when Akhenaton died, Tutankhamun was still young, a child, 9 years old.
You say he lived to the age of 19. What was the cause of his death at such a young age?
The most difficult question, the cause of death of Tutankhamun. When the tomb was discovered, the people who examined the mummy of Tutankhamun for the first time, they found a hole behind his head, and they thought that the king was murdered and he was killed. In 2005, the last research carried out on the Tutankhamun's mummy proved that this hole on the back of the head of the king was made in order to put the mummification material inside the skull and to protect the brain. And by studying the mummy of Tutankhamun, they found very interesting results. They proved that the king was ill because he was the son of Akhenaton, who married his own sister. So he got some genetic problem, but he lived normal life. And there were evidence that the king suffered from malaria, high fever. And the most interesting thing is they found unhealed wounds on his legs. And they proved that this has happened in a chariot accident. The king was racing or was hunting, and all of a sudden he fell from his chariot and he broke his leg, and he died very quickly after this because the wounds were not healed yet.
So going from the most difficult question to one of the most common questions I'm sure you get is when the tomb was opened, there was a curse found on the tomb wall. And a lot of people, it was one of the first questions I was asked to ask.
Yeah.
About the curse of King Tutankhamun and what it means. And you on the opening night last night, you had a wonderful thing you said about the magic of the tomb and the magic of ancient Egypt. Can you tell us about that?
You're right. This is the most common question, the curse of Tutankhamun. And what happened is that 5 months after the discovery of the tomb, the one who paid the money, the one who sponsored the excavation, the 5th Earl of Carnarvon, Lord Carnarvon, he died out of a very strange cause. He got a mosquito bite. He was in Egypt in a hotel, and he was bitten by a mosquito, and in the morning he was shaving like every noble British lord at that time, shaving every day. So during his shaving, he cut the mosquito bite by the razor, got blood poison, very high fever that night. In the morning, he's dead. So 5 months, Lord Carnarvon died, and the media took this and start to talk about the curse of Tutankhamun, and they start the count. They start to count every single accident connected with the tomb. For example, you have this scholar coming from Switzerland to visit the tomb. At the first step, at the entrance, he fall, he got heart attack, and he died. And then you have the British governor of Sudan coming to attend a meeting in Cairo, and in Luxor, he stopped in order to visit the new discovery. He visited the tomb, he went to Cairo, and he was assassinated before he reached his meeting. And you have one of the team of Howard Carter, the one who found the tomb, committed suicide, threw himself from the 7th floor from a high building. A week later, his father did the same. All these accidents, the media enriched the talk about the curse of Tutankhamun. But on the other hand, you have people saying that the one who found the tomb, he lived for a long time, Howard Carter. But I believe that he was the most cursed one, because once he found the tomb of Tutankhamun, he lost all his friends out of jealousy. All the community of Egyptologists at that time, they actually hated Howard Carter, because he found this magnificent discovery, so they were attacking him. He spent 10 years inside the tomb, restoring the artifacts and bringing them out of the tomb, sending them to the Egyptian Museum. And because of the bad air in this very narrow space inside the tomb, and because of the chemical material they were using, he got ill, and he died lonely in London. And most interesting thing that they found in his will that he wanted the inscription, special inscription from the tomb of Tutankhamun to be written on his gravestone. The inscription was saying, "May you live thousands of years. May you live happy, healthy. May your eyes see wonderful things." And Howard Carter's eyes saw wonderful things because he saw the treasure of Tutankhamun.
Okay. And talking about the curse, is it only with this particular case, or have other pharaohs or other tombs that have been discovered, have they carried particular curses, or is it only unique to this one?
We didn't say that the tomb of Tutankhamun carrying a curse. We just telling about the accident happened and connected with Tutankhamun. But your question is absolutely in the right spot, because the word curse itself came from ancient Egypt.
Mm.
We found the so-called curse inscriptions written on tombs from all the period, from the Old Kingdom, Middle Kingdom, New Kingdom, and on these curse inscriptions, the deceased, the owner of the tomb, was trying to protect his tomb. He put this curse, its magical words, saying, if anyone touched my tomb, if anyone caused harm to my tomb, he will be eaten by the hippopotamus. He will be killed by the crocodile. He will be poisoned by the snake. His bone will be smashed by the lion. And we can read the text, but actually we cannot understand the power of the words itself. What kind of magic the ancient Egyptian put in these words? Because they believed that the animal they depicted on the tombs will come true if anyone tried to attack the tomb and cause harm to it. So one of the methods the ancient Egyptian protected their properties were the curse inscriptions.
The replicas, last night was the opening night of the exhibition, and the replicas are breathtaking. Some of my colleagues at All Africa were saying, well, maybe the curse doesn't carry over because it's replicas, and they laughed. I thought it was quite funny. But the replicas are so intricate. Like I was going through the book last night, and they are exact matches. How long did it take for them to make those replicas?
Years and years. Over 6 years, they were trying to build the exhibition. You see, the problem is not how to make an exact replica, same measurements, same material. But the difficult part is how to put the same passion, the same magic inside the objects. Because when you see the original objects, you will be taken by the shiny gold, this is true, but then there is something in every object. And in order to reach this, we made all the exhibition, we produced it completely in Egypt by Egyptian hands, people who still have the talent, the passion of their ancestors, and people who understand the meaning of these objects. So they put their passion in it. And we have wonderful people, artisans, artists, sculptors. They work day and night in order to reach this, because we feel the responsibility. We are representing part of Egypt. And we needed to get the right impression. A bad replica will not do any good for anyone. So this replica is one-to-one exact replica. It will give you the exact feeling and motions when you see the original. And we used it in the right concept, because we built our exhibition on two concepts. The first one is to give our visitors the chance to live the same moment, this very important moment, the moment of the discovery itself. How Howard Carter saw the treasure for the first time, and what feelings he had at this moment. So we reconstruct this historical moment. We put the tomb in the same order, same arrangement, like when Howard Carter discovered it, and our visitors will explore, and they will listen to Howard Carter explaining to them through the audio guide we provide how he found the tomb, the discovery of Tutankhamun itself. And the second thing, the second concept, we are exhibiting over 1,000 objects that represent the masterpieces from Tutankhamun's treasure, and people will see the beauty and the magic in each object in our exhibition. It's not only the shiny gold of Tutankhamun, it's the story behind each object, and we want people from Cape Town and from the surroundings also to come and visit the exhibition in order to know about this very important part of their own history, African history.
Why so much gold, though? It was traditional that kings are buried with so much. Well, I mean, it's spectacular, the amount of gold in the exhibition.
Good question. Gold was very precious, and we all love gold. The ancient Egyptian, they loved gold for a different reason, because the nature of the mineral itself, it doesn't change. I mean, gold stay gold, doesn't get rust. So it's like this through the ages. They connected somehow between the nature of gold and the eternity. The king wanted to live forever in the afterlife, no change. This gold gave him the same. The ancient Egyptians, they believed that the flesh of the gods made out of gold. They don't age, and they stay forever gods. So the meaning of gold was very deep in ancient Egypt, and gold was everywhere. They knew about the mines on the Red Sea and in the very south part of the country. They even drew maps how to reach the mine of gold, the mines of gold. And we have very interesting message, a letter sent by one of the Asiatic king at that time during the New Kingdom to Amenhotep III. Amenhotep III was the grandfather of Tutankhamun. And in the letter, the foreign king is asking the Egyptian king, saying, please, my lord, send me some gold, for I know that gold in the land of my lord is like dust in my land.
You were saying about African history and how important it is that Capetonians get to know about it. And I think the exhibition is a gateway to lead people to, you know, discover more about African history. One of the things I've been trying to understand is why people come up with other explanations for our history. For instance, another question that was asked, that gets asked quite often, is who built the pyramids? And why is it that people question the abilities of Africans?
This is another good question. I get good questions all the time now. Actually, let me tell you that yesterday, before the official opening, we received some school trips. Wonderful kids. And I was so happy to see them and to see their eyes coming bigger and bigger, looking at the gold and asking the questions. They were very happy to know that this is from Egypt, and Egypt is in the north of Africa, and they are, and it's now here in South Africa, and it's one land, one tradition, one civilization. They were so happy. We were telling them the story of Tutankhamun. So actually, I don't know who to blame for this huge gap between our ancient heritage, our history. Historians, archaeologists, because we are not telling it in the right concept. We just tell history, make history boring subject, putting years and places, but history is really very interesting. Coming to your question, who built the pyramids? The ancient Egyptians. How? The proof, evidence. Yes, but why people think that aliens built the pyramids? Because when tourists come to Egypt and visit sites, they go to the Great Pyramid in Giza. They see a perfect, huge, giant construction, huge building, and they ask the question, how they did it in ancient times? Because it's so perfect. But if they go to a site called Dahshur, few kilometers to the south of the Great Pyramid, they will see another small pyramids, not in the perfect shape. One of the pyramid called the Bent Pyramid, because King Snefru, father of Khufu, who built the Great Pyramid of Giza, was trying to reach the true shape of a pyramid. He was trying to build a true pyramid. So the architect did a mistake, choose a big angle, and continued the construction, and before the finishing, some cracks appeared in the burial chamber because of the weight put on the burial chamber. So he had to break the angle and make it smaller in order to finish quickly the construction. And that's why they call it the Pent Pyramid. I mean, aliens did not come to Egypt with ready science. The Egyptians were trying. They were making experiments. And it took them hundreds of years in order to reach the science, how to build the pyramids. And the same with everything. When you visit Egypt, please go to Aswan in the south and visit the so-called unfinished obelisk. You know obelisk. Egyptian cut it from one stone, granite stone, sometimes reach the height of 30 meters. And it must be from one stone. It cannot build from blocks. So they were cutting one of the huge obelisk, almost 22 meter height. And just before they finish, the obelisk cracked. So they had to leave the project. This is one of the failed projects they had. So what I mean that we, when we come close to the history, to the civilization itself, we see their achievements, but also when they failed.
Okay. Doctor, we only have 5 minutes until the news and we have to leave. I've got a question. Do you think presently we'd be able to build pyramids to what's this, to the perfection of ancient Egyptians?
Never.
Why not?
Even if we use the most sophisticated technology, and why not? Because we don't have the belief. You know, in ancient time, there was a deep belief in the Egyptians that they have to make sure that the king who died will go to the afterlife and they will have a new king in order to keep the fertility of the land. It was inside them, you know, putting all this gold with Tutankhamun was not only for Tutankhamun, it was for the Egyptians themselves. It was for Egypt to secure a safe passage for the king to the afterlife and bring a new king who will keep the fertility of the land and the order of the whole universe. Out of this, they made everything perfect. And they spent a lot of time planning, organizing. It was not a haphazard work. Nothing was by chance, coincidence. No, everything was planned out of a deep belief. And we don't have a disbelief inside us. We will build pyramids, but it will not have the magic of ancient Egyptian pyramids. If you travel the world, you will see many people try to build pyramids. There is in Las Vegas a pyramid, a hotel called Luxor, and there are many, even people built pyramids using gold. But when you see it, you don't feel the same magic in the ancient Egyptian pyramids.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us, Doctor.
Yes, thank you so much. I just want to say that I'm going to be taking my son, and I want to encourage people to take their children because it's so important that the children see what was done.
Yes.
What came before us.
And we provide them a special audio guide, special for children, with a special script to make them understand the exhibition. So please, we call all the families from Cape Town and from around to come with their kids and to see the beauty and the magic of Tutankhamun.
Okay, thank you very much. 2 minutes until 12. On top of the hour, we're going to have the news with Jamie Faith Puna. Enjoy.